You're glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
It's my privilege to be here with you. I count it a real privilege to be here with you tonight. It's always a wonderful thing for me to be able to come to the house of God. I always look forward to it. I have no other desire in life but to fulfill my mission for Christ. My whole life is centered around God day and night. All during the night, my wife can tell you that if she looks, she's liable to find me on my face on a pillow, crying to the Lord, or there waiting upon God, because it's my whole life. The daytime, I have but one desire, that's to be with God. Sometimes she gets a little aggravated with me, because she says it looks like that I have no time left for her and the children. But my life is for Christ, because I know that everything is going to be over in just a short while. Such a very, very, very short while, until some of you tonight would be shocked if you know just how close it really was. I'm going to say some things tonight, if the Lord will allow me to, and if you'll be patient, that I know that I'll get a little repercussion out of. I know that things won't be exactly the way that you'd like to hear it. All right. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Now everybody don't like nothing, you know, they don't care nothing about God. They just come for a music or the show, you'll dismiss and you can go home. But if there's anybody that cares anything about God and eternal life, you know, Olive Branch is one of the worst places I've ever seen about showmanship, where they get together and have songs and walk out when the preacher starts preaching. The boys and girls will sit down on the back side of the audience in the tents and in the churches and play hands, chew bubble gum and do everything else and pay no attention to the preacher. Never seen a place any worse in my life than this place about it. But there is some people here that love God, that care something about Jesus Christ, and that are willing to be found in His presence and in His way. And those are the ones that we're sent to tonight. Now God sends us to everybody, because the words of judgment comes and those are cut off that will not go with Christ. Now, I appreciate you tonight from the bottom of my heart. I thank God for you. I see some brethren here from over in Humboldt, Tennessee. I thank the Lord for you. I appreciate you coming, the brothers and sisters from Humboldt. Also, those that come up out of Pope, Mississippi. I see some of them here. I appreciate them tonight, Brother Leon. And then we've got some, I think, here from Arkansas. I know we've got a mixture here from Carolinas and Illinois and all around this little congregation tonight. And we're thankful for you. We appreciate you tonight. We've got people from out of little Bethlehem tonight, from over in the area where we do quite a bit of preaching, and we appreciate them being here also. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
I'm real hoarse tonight. I went down and talked quite a bit for Brother Wilson this morning in the little church there, and I was already hoarse to begin with. And I'm even worse tonight, but we're still planning to say some things tonight. I know that about a third of you will pay attention, and about two-thirds of you won't. But nevertheless, we're still going to say it. You know, God doesn't send you to say what the people want to hear, or doesn't send you because the people want to hear.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the last days there will be a famine. Will it be for the Word of God? The Word of God will be preached. The Word of God will be here. But the Bible said there will be a famine for the hearing of the Word. That is, the people won't have ears to hear. And the Bible said they'll turn their ears away to things, you know, that they want to listen to. Music and rumbas and shows and frolics and everything else. And in the latter times be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. Men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, killing and lusting. They'll covet more and can't get or can't obtain to. That's the day that we're living in. Now, I want to say some things to you tonight. The reason I want to say them to you, folks of Olive Branch, is because you are fixing to go into some sorrow like you've never been in your life. You don't believe that. You wouldn't believe it no matter who told you. And I'm not here to try to convince you. I'm just here to tell you. Now, you're fixing to go through some sorrow like you've never experienced in your life. If you don't repent, and repent in a hurry, and get straight with God, for years you've not been straight with God, You've not been interested in God. You've not turned to God. And many of you have played religion until God is so tired of it, until he's fixing to pour out his wrath upon a number of you. And I mean, you're really headed for trouble here. Now, the revelation of Christ, according to what I understand, shows that you're headed for some bad trouble. So that I've come here one more time to try to reason with you, try to talk with you, and try to get you to listen. Because I said last night, I love you. You in my heart. God sent me through here years ago. He wanted to do a work in this place, but you wouldn't let him do it. You fight, you bicker, you backbite, you talk about each other, you gossip. You do things that ought not to be done in a community, let alone in a church and among Christian people. But nevertheless, God has sent me back here again. I love you. I enjoy coming to preach to you. But a lot of times I don't come into this area when I'd like to come. I try not to come until God sends me, because I know the condition of the area. I know where you're at in the mind of God and who you are and what pattern you fit and what God's doing. And for that reason, I try to stay out till God sends me, so that I can be able to reach you with the Word of Christ. Now, I gave a warning not too long ago concerning this area. Since that time, there has been an earthquake that has shook this place. And God gave a warning that he means business.
Amen.
There's more trouble that's headed for this place. I'm not here to prophesy destruction upon you. I'm not here to prophesy judgment upon you. It's not my desire for you to be in the judgment of God. It is not God's desire for somebody to run through the land, always prophesying judgment upon the people, because God doesn't want judgment upon the people. God wants to save the people. But if people are stubborn, overconfident, and rebellious and won't listen to anybody, then God has to bring judgment. There's nothing else left for him to do. I've got people here under this tent. You've got stubbornness. You've got temper. You've got rebellion. You've got lust. You've got covetousness. You've got foolishness. You've got gossip under this tent tonight. And I've tried to tell you, some other ministers have tried to tell you, different ones have tried to tell you, but tonight you're just as contrary and stubborn and rebellious as you ever was. Amen. The Bible said concerning Israel, all day long I've had my hand stretched out to you, but you wouldn't listen. That's right. In this area, there should have been one of the greatest works for God done here as any place in the world, in this area. God desired to do one of the greatest works he's ever done anywhere in this area, but you would not. So then, there's only one thing left for you, unless you do something in a hurry. You missed the work that God was going to do. How do you know that? As I live before God, you people in this area missed the work that God was going to do here. And if I know God and understand God, it will never be done here. It's done for. It's finished. It will never be done here. Never. Now, then, if God does it here, then I've not heard from God. He will never do it. But there was a time when God would have done it. And God desired to do it. But one of the problems was the preachers of this area got in such a mess, fighting and feuding and trying to take over the church and trying to get what little flock it was to follow them, until they've got it in such a mess, nobody can do anything with it but God.
Amen.
Fighting and feuding and going on. But in spite of all that, God still loves you, and God's trying to reach you. And God wants to do something for you.
Amen.
I want you to know tonight, folks, that everything that says he's called to preach is not called to preach.
Amen.
Every time somebody tells you he's a prophet, it doesn't mean he's a prophet.
Amen.
But God does have some prophets in the land. God does have some preachers in the land. God does have somebody that's got the word of the Lord in the land.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I wrote to you last night a little portion of scripture. I didn't get to talk with you on it. And tonight, you may not give me a chance to talk with you tonight. But I'd like to talk with you a few minutes. It's going to take a few minutes to get over to you what I've got to say. And I'd appreciate it if you would give me a few minutes and not jump up like popcorn in the middle of my sermon and leave. Some of you, if you don't say the right things, then you're ready to leave. If you ever cross the grain a little bit of what you believe, you're ready to leave. Some of you can't sit still 5 minutes to listen to the gospel because you have no interest in the gospel. Now, some of you will sit until a man has about 30 minutes to preach what's called a popcorn sermon. Then after that, you pop up and pop out. And you got to go to work, or you got to go to bed, or watch a television program, or you got to do something. Amen. But folks, them kind of days is over. God's going to tear you up for that. Them kind of days is finished. Amen. The kind of days of having a bunch of Jezebels up on the platform. People are supposed to be preaching the word, singing, and doing those things. Them kind of days is over. God means business. This kind of rumba, rock and roll music, all this rumba, bumba mess, God's through with it. God has allowed it for a while, but he's through with it. God's not a play party. Amen. God didn't make this world for a bunch of preachers to go through here gallivanting around getting upset with people because they don't give to them and do the way that they want them to do. God, you belong to God. God created you for himself. The Bible said all things was created by him and for his pleasure. Not for some evangelist's pleasure. But God has suffered many things through the years. He's let men go here and there and everywhere and do everything that he might work with you people, not only here but throughout the world, and get a few people together that would be called by his name, that would listen to him. He's had to suffer every kind of filth to be able to do it, but he's about got them together. And brother, he's got a slaughter pen, and he's going to run preachers and people that's supposed to be prophets and different ones. He's going to run them through like a herd of cattle and slaughter them as they go through. And there's going to be some people in the same condition. You say, Brother Pike, how do you know I've heard from heaven? Hallelujah! I've done heard from God. I know that it's true. Hallelujah. That's why I'm here tonight. It's because God has sent me here.
Praise God. Amen.
You know, you always got the people in the church. If you turn it up, somebody's going to say it's too loud. If you turn it down, somebody's going to say it's too low. So I don't pay any attention to either one of them. I just turn it where I want it and let them listen. If they're not listening, get up and go home.
Amen.
Now, I'm not arrogant. I just want you to know that God's got a plan and God's got a way and God's tired of everybody messing with it. Hallelujah. God didn't call everybody to lead the people. He called the minister of God to lead the people. He didn't call everybody to... How many of you like for everybody to mess around with your wife? How many of you know the church belongs to God? And God is the Word. And God doesn't want everybody messing with his wife. Some of these preachers has run them through like a herd of cattle and slapped them down and pushed them down and treat them like a bunch of animals. God isn't pleased with that.
Amen.
And God's about to show it up.
Praise God.
Now, I want to say some things tonight if I can. To you, some of you, it's going to be foolish. To some of you, it's not going to mean anything. But I ask you to hear tonight. The Bible said, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. And I said last night, the sacrifice of a fool is an opinion. Fools come to church, they don't come to listen and try to understand. They just come to give their opinion and their feeling about it. And if you ever say anything the way they don't like it, or raise your voice, that's their opinion, and they're gone. Those kind of people never amount to anything for their family, for the neighborhood, or for God, or for anybody else.
Amen.
Just a bunch of troublemakers and wandering stars, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. This book tonight has a significance. Brother Bill Cartridge tonight presented this to me. Last night I picked it up to minister out of it. And I knew that it had a significance last night. And I believe he said he had a vision, or God told him something concerning the Bible, that he was supposed to give it. Is that right, Bill? Last night, I knew that God had this for me last night. Not in that Bill should give it to me, but it was representing something. Bill Cartridge's name means little book. Amen. Little book. And tonight, I want to minister just a little bit concerning the little book. And I want to talk just a little bit concerning the end of time.
Praise God. Amen.
You got time to listen tonight? All right. The end of time. Now, folks, we're living in a day of evil, a day of darkness. We're living in a day of lust and covetousness. We're living in a day of double marriage and triple marriage. We're living in a time such as has never been in the history of all of mankind. Never been a day like this day. But in the midst of all of this that we're seeing, God is in the midst. God is in the midst. I want Brother Taylor to come up here just a minute. I read a little passage of scripture here to you last night. But I want him to read a little something here. You can turn over to Revelation 10. It starts off, and I saw another mighty angel. Turn over here to this, and I'm going to get him to read a little of it here about this angel that came down that was clothed with the sun. And I've got a reason tonight for him reading it. And I want you to listen, folks, for just a few minutes, and I'd like for our brother Taylor to read until I ask him to stop. Would you do that, brother?
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod.
Okay. All right, now, the little brother that's walking out from under the tent, the Jew brother there, is one of our followers from over at Bethlehem. This is the first night that he's been in this meeting. And it is the first time that I recall that he's been able to get away from that area to be in any of our meetings. Amen. Though he has wanted to. But God had a specific purpose in him coming here tonight. He is altogether a Jew. He was raised up as a Jew. His people are devout Jews. Just counseling with them the other day, and they told me how they loved God and had God in their home, but they didn't have Christ because they didn't believe in Christ. Just as sincere as they could be and just as blind as they could be when it comes to the things of God, in that God has blinded the Jews in part. But God has opened this boy's eyes here in that there's a great multitude that no man can number before the Jews come in. There are some Jews scattered here and there that God will open their eyes that he might send them over to Israel.
Amen.
Now then, he's here tonight to typify a great thing coming to this meeting tonight. And that thing is that this very meeting that we're in, and this area that we are in tonight, I'd like to take my time and talk with you tonight if I could. This very meeting, this very hour, this very tent, this very happening has to do with the closing of the days of the Gentile church. Now, I know that when I say that, thoughts go through your mind, who are you, Brother Pike? Who told you that you could say that? What makes you think that we've got to believe that? I know all those kind of things. But I'm just asking you to listen. You don't have to believe anything that you want to believe. Just listen. That's all I ask. Now, a foolish man is a man that judges a situation before he hears it through. Now, and he's even more foolish if he condemns the truth after he hears it. But I want you to listen tonight, because as I live before God, I raise my hand to heaven, that this meeting tonight, according to what I understand, has to do with the closing of the days of the Gentile church. At last things has come to an end, my brothers and sisters. At last things has finally come to a finish. And this is typical of that finish here. I am here tonight because God told me to come here. I've come here tonight to try to explain to the best of my ability why that God has sent me here. Folks, when the President of the United States sends an ambassador over into a foreign country, he hasn't just sent him over there for nothing. There is a reason why that they send the dignitaries over into the foreign country. And so it is with God. When God sent Jonah down to Nineveh, there was a God reason for it. There was something fixing to happen to Nineveh. And God was trying to get Jonah to go over and give a warning. Because God doesn't delight in judgment. It is not God's desire to bring judgment upon people. Amen. Hallelujah. I said about time I got started, somebody get up and go out. People don't have any reverence, any respect for the Word of God or the house of God. They judge a situation, they hear about 10 minutes of it, and they're gone. Well, it doesn't make any difference. Some people are going to go to hell. It don't matter what you preach. But anyway, there's one thing about it. This meeting tonight has to do with the end of the trail for the Gentile people. And God has sent me here tonight to preach the gospel, because this area is a typical area for what God is about to do. He is trying his very best tonight to reach not only Olive Branch and the people of Olive Branch, but other people around the world. God is trying to get over the gospel of Christ to them. He's trying to make them to understand. He's trying to get the people to listen, because there's a terrible thing coming. The judgments of God are at the door. And God is pleading with the people to try to get them into the ark of safety before these great judgments fall. My Bible tells me to tell you to pray always. Pray without ceasing. To meditate in the laws of God day and night. And to pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape the thing that's coming upon this earth. My brother, there are some things coming on this earth that's coming upon people. And if we don't get right with God and stay right with God, those things are going to fall on us. God's talking about human beings. You're going to have to get right with God. You're going to have to stop playing. You're going to have to mean business with God. God doesn't just mean for us to come together and have a shout. God's got a mind that He's trying to put in the church. God doesn't just mean for us to come together and somebody tell something about their heart, about their life, or some spiritual gift work. That's not God's plan. God put spiritual gifts in the church, and they're in the church. And they work in the church wherever there's a body of believers. But brothers and sisters, that's not the plan of God. God's plan tonight is not to have a bunch of miracles across the world. If He wanted to do that, He could have them by the bushels. What God's trying to do tonight is to have a miracle here and a miracle there and some great happening here and some great happening there to get the attention of the people, that they may turn their hearts and their lives toward God, that God in return may perfect their lives and perfect their spirits, that He might preserve their body and their soul and the spirit from the damnation of hell. This thing is a serious thing. God wants to preserve you tonight. God wants to help you tonight. We're going to have miracles. God's always had miracles. We're going to have some shouting and praising God. God's always had. But God didn't intend for it to be by a bunch of bebop music. Amen. God didn't intend for it to be a bunch of lines, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People are dying and people are not praying the prayer of faith. Because they're not interested in God and God's people. Amen. We need to get our mind off of ministers that's going through the land and get our mind on God. Amen. Get our mind on the Word of the Lord. I believe that you ought to listen to a minister. I'm a minister. I believe you ought to listen to a minister. But I also believe that what you need to do is to find the Word of God and anchor your faith in the Word of God and get right with God, or you're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
I believe in miracles God's given me, numbers of them in my lifetime. Not only in the physical, but He's given me miracles of hundreds of thousands of dollars in the financial realm. When I refused to take personal offerings from you, when I was here in Olive Branch, Mississippi, it's not one of you sitting here that can point your finger and say, well, I gave you an offering. You never gave me anything. Hey, amen. Like somebody come not too long ago talking about what they gave to Brother Pike. I said, back up and get another start. You didn't give Brother Pike nothing, because Brother Pike don't take personal offerings. You got a lot of men running around, get every dime that you got. And if they can't get it that way, they'll set up a peanut brittle factory and get it that way.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you feel that it's wrong to get into the peanut brittle business?
Hallelujah.
There's nothing wrong with it if you want to set up a candy factory. That's your business. But brother, when you turn the church into a candy factory, that's my business.
Yeah.
Jesus turned over the money tables. The place the money changes. God didn't call us to sell donuts, peanut brittle, and turn the church into a place of harlots. Amen. Have everything on the platform and under the tents and everywhere. If a man wants to sell, if a man wants to buy, if a man wants to do anything, let him do it out from under the name of the church. If you want to set up a candy factory, then you set it up and you sell candy. If you want to give something to the church, that's honorable in the sight of God. But my brother, you are a stink in God's nostrils when you take the church and turn it into a peanut brittle factory. Amen. I know for a truth that this is being done all over the nation. You know what it is? It's men that don't have faith to do a work for God.
Amen.
And they're leaning on the arm of the flesh. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh, or goeth down into Egypt for his help.
Praise God. Amen.
When a minister gets up and he spends all of his time pulling and begging and pleading, then when he gets mad, kick the bucket.
Praise God.
That man needs to be born again. That's not the nature of Christ. That's the nature of the devil. Silly. Foolish. Turning the house of God into a place of merchandise. When preachers come to, those preachers get all upset because you don't give them an offering. You don't let them preach in your church. Probably every time you let them get up, they cause you problems. They cause the congregation problems. But if you don't let them get up every time they come through, then they hop up and they prophesy judgment against you. That's of the devil. And they are too.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
When ministers tell you that when you're in a double marriage, married two or three times and it's all right, that's of the devil.
Amen.
God said it isn't all right. Hallelujah. And a man that's in a double marriage has no business calling himself a preacher.
Amen.
I'm talking about God, the Word of God, what God said about it. Not what you think or what somebody told you or what the doctrine said. I'm talking about the Word. In the latter times, the Bible said they would depart from the faith, which is the Word.
Amen.
Give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils.
Amen.
The Bible tells me that if a man be called a brother, and if that man is a fornicator, said, don't you sit down and eat a biscuit with him.
Amen.
Don't you eat one bite with him.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about a clean, holy, godly, upright people.
Praise God. Come on.
I'm here tonight because this has to do with the end of the world.
Amen.
God has done a great thing throughout the world, my brother.
Amen.
He has done a great thing. But God is through with the Gentile people.
Praise God.
When Brother William Branham came, a great man of God, and I know when I say that, some of you draw up because he's got a bunch of followers that can't get their mind off of sex long enough to get away from the serpent seed.
Amen.
A bunch of devils.
Amen.
And everywhere they get, they got to take a young girl and a woman and get back to the serpent seed. Because their mind's dirty and polluted.
Amen.
And that's what they are, is the serpent seed.
Amen.
The Bible said it's come that it's not to be named once among us. Those things that's done in secret,
God,
as becoming saints, we're not to even name them and talk about them.
Amen.
They've injured, tore down, wrecked, got the people confused and tore up in a bunch of splinters.
Amen.
The people are so confused they don't know who's right and what's right and what to do anymore.
Amen.
The preachers have done that. The preachers have done that. Why did God send such a bunch of preachers? Why did he do that? Because every time that Israel sinned, God sent them an evil leader.
Amen.
Every time the people refused to hear the prophets of God, God sent a bunch of make-believers. Every time Israel go contrary to God, when God would plead with them and try to tell them the truth and it wouldn't listen, God would turn them over to a reprobate mind and let anybody come in among them.
Praise God.
I said this morning, you know, we tell the young people because we want to hold on to them. And I believe in encouraging the young people. I do wherever I go. But we say, young folks, you just come on. You come on now. All them elders going to die. You just come on because God's got you. Don't lie to them youngins. Don't lie to those young people. Don't you tell those young people that are going in and those that's fought the battle for years are going to die and go to hell. Young folks, let me tell you something. You're in a slop hole. Amen. And you're on your way to hell with your dope acts, with all of this filth of beatles, beatniks, all of this kind of thing. You're on your way to hell and God's going to send you there. thing you better do is repent of your sins, get straightened out, and turn to God. You people running around your miniskirt, don't you let no preacher tell you that you're going to heaven. If a preacher tells you that, he's a liar.
Amen.
And if you'll bring him here, I'll put my finger right in his face and tell him he's a liar.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God intends for you to dress holy. Bible said be holy in body and in spirit. You might be holy in spirit, but God said for you to be holy in body. Paul said that God might preserve your whole body, your whole spirit, your whole soul. Amen. You wear a miniskirt, you'll die and go to hell. Daughters of God, don't go around like that. Sons of God, don't go around in Bermuda shorts. Amen. Somebody said predestination, Brother Pye. Yes, it's predestination. Children of the devil that's on their way to hell. Amen. Servants of corruption. That's promising liberty to others when they themselves are bound by the devil.
Praise God.
For that of which a man is overcome, he is in bondage to the same. Servant to the same. God has a holy people. God has a clean people. God isn't going to excuse your sins. He said to Joshua, he said, I'll send my angel before you. And he said, don't you provoke him. Don't you transgress. Don't you cross him. He said, because he will not pardon your transgressions. He will not pardon your transgressions. My brother, the angel of God is among us. But he will not pardon your transgressions. They're inexcusable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The days of the Gentiles is at an end. Amen. Those prophets tormented the people that came in that message God sent. It tormented them. The Bible said, did not say that the people was happy. It did not say that the people shouted and danced and sang and they had great tent revivals. It said the nations were angry because God had declared the kingdoms of this world to be the kingdoms of God. And God had condemned them, saying that they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And would not come to the light lest God should reprove them. I'm here tonight for a specific purpose. I'm not a minister that runs from coast to coast. I do what the Lord wants me to do. For a number of months, I've not even had an automobile. Sat there without a car. Somebody would say, well, why didn't you buy one? Because I felt that I could do more for God without one in helping somebody else carry the load at that time. And I was willing to do without, more than glad to do it for Christ. Somebody offered me a car. This young man right here, sitting right here, came to me and offered me a nice, beautiful Mark Lincoln, skylight and everything in it. God said no. He didn't understand, but he accepted what I said about it. And I appreciate him for it. Another brother rolled up with a brand new Ford. Had just got it out of the factory or out of the place where they sell them. Rolled up and gave it to me and said, it's yours. And God said no. Amen. And I continued on. I continued on till God spoke to my heart. And God said, son, I'm going to give you a golden Lincoln.
Amen.
I was praying and seeking God. And I said, God, what's it got to do with an automobile? I said, you're not interested in automobiles. You're interested in souls. And I shook it out of my mind. I said, God, I'm trying to find out something else. I'm not interested in automobiles. But the Lord spoke to me again. Sometimes God has a specific purpose for doing a thing. God spoke to me again and said, you will get a golden Lincoln. And then it shook me up. And I said, Lord, why are you giving it to me? I've not bothered about a car. I've not wanted a car.
Praise God.
And the Lord said, this golden Lincoln. And he began to break it down, explain it to me, and show me what it was for. He showed me that the end of the Gentiles was here. And that the golden Lincoln I was to have and I was to drive had to do with the crown returning to Israel. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. About 975 A.D., there was a split. How do you know that? In the days of Solomon's son Rehoboam, there was a split. Amen. There's a fellow that just wouldn't listen. Amen. I hope you can listen tonight. This fellow just wouldn't listen. A man by the name of Jeroboam. And the Bible said he led 10 tribes of God away from Judah and away from their steadfastness. Took them down in Samaria. Down into Assyria. And the different places away from Judah. How do you know there's still a split tonight?
Amen.
Have you got time to listen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what happened if you got time to listen, because God told me.
God.
Tell you what the golden Lincoln means.
Hallelujah.
And I know that God will bless you, said, I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Amen. I know all of that. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get riches. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it, you shall have it. I understand that. We preach prosperity. We preach healing. But brother, there's something greater than that. There is the mind of Almighty God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's able to keep our body and soul out of a burning pit. Hallelujah. God has sent all these other things as a forerunner. He sent a day of grace whereby the people that wasn't even living right, because of the blood atonement, they might have healing. And he sent ministers to bring them healing. He sent ministers to prophesy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Over in Columbus the other night, the Spirit of God was rich. God gave us a good crowd of people. And it was growing and growing. And the Holy Spirit came down. I began to prophesy for quite a long while. But God was doing that. It was the purpose of God. People were hungry. Their hearts were hungry. They were crying out, calling for something. And God heard them. And God answered them. Now, there was a split in the days of Solomon's son. Now this is going to take a few minutes to talk with you. When you tell somebody something, you can't holler at them all the time. Some people have gotten such a condition, if you don't holler at them, you can't keep their attention. I said the other night, Jesus didn't do that. Now I can holler, I can jump, I can run and dance and kick up the dust. I'm a human being just like everybody else. Sometimes I dance with all my might, but it's usually not in front of the people. It's when I'm all praying, talking to God, and the Holy Spirit comes down and I dance like a wild Indian. A lot of times.
Amen.
But I don't come out here and put on a show for you.
Amen.
And I'm dancing for God.
Praise.
I'm not going to cut loose any time. Amen. Now, Jesus, he sat down in a little boat. He pushed out from the shore to put a little water between him and the people. To where he could be separated from them. And where he could talk to them. He wanted to teach them. He wanted to talk with them. He wanted to reason with them. And try to get them to understand the revelation of Christ.
Amen.
Trying to make them understand that there was something they need to know.
Amen.
That's why you got schools all over the world. Children have to sit down. Could you imagine a teacher with 500 pupils, all of them dancing and hollering and shouting, popping bubble gum. How much could you teach them? And yet the devil has got the congregation of God so perverted in their thinking until they feel like that all they got to do is holler and sing and run and jump and shout, and they're on the way to heaven. Don't you know that's a trick of the devil? The Bible says, be more ready to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, because Enoch was translated by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
God is a spirit. How do you know God is a spirit?
Amen.
God is a spirit. And God is trying to reach your spirit. Coming to church don't mean anything, folks. Baptist folks go to church. Methodist folks go to church. Before I knew anything about Pentecost, but I was converted in a little Baptist church. I went to church. And I listened to preaching better than some of you did. Amen. But God is a spirit. God does things through the supernatural. He does things through the spirit. He likes to get your attention. I made the statement. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pine, what I do, I listen to the preacher if I think he's anointed. God didn't ask you to think nothing.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, I listen to him until the anointing lifts. My brother, the anointing doesn't lift off of God's minister.
Amen.
That shows how backward you are.
Amen. Right.
Somebody said, well, I have to wait till he gets anointed. He doesn't get anointed.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody said, and when he preaches, as long as I think that he ought to preach, then I get up and leave. Because I know the anointing has left. The anointing doesn't leave him. Now, I want to say this again to you tonight. God's ministers does not get anointed.
Amen.
The prophets of old got anointed. Because they were prophets, they were not born of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They prophesied. But the minister of God, he is God's anointed. He doesn't get anointed. He's always anointed. He's always God's minister. He is God's anointed. Somebody said, well, them that I'm acquainted with ain't like that. You know why? Because the man that you're acquainted with is not a preacher. That's right. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. The ministers of Satan transform themselves by the renewing of their mind into ministers of light. That's right, and the word is light. And they preach to you. And the anointing actually does come down like in the days of old in the prophets. When old Saul had murder in his heart and went up to Ramah-Gilead to kill David. But he got up there and the anointing fell on him. And he prophesied so much they thought he was a prophet.
Amen.
But brothers and sisters, God's minister doesn't have to get anointed. He is God's anointed. He's God's anointed when he wakes up in the morning. If you bust a doorbell and you go to council with him, he's God's anointed. If you meet him down at the service station somewhere, he's God's anointed. If you meet him over the cafe, he's God's anointed. If you meet him in the church, he's God's anointed.
Amen.
Amen. And right then and there, he will speak to you about God.
Amen.
There don't have to be any music. There don't have to be any shout. There don't have to be anything.
Praise God.
The Bible said the Holy Ghost will bring to your mind or memory whatsoever I have taught you. Hallelujah. And a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I feel there's a lot of things that God don't want us to know. I mentioned this the other night. That is, again, where you're wrong. There is not anything that God doesn't want us to know. The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Comprehend the heights, comprehend the depths, comprehend the width, comprehend the length. And the Bible said, what God has made known unto me, Jesus speaking, what my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So then, what am I doing here? Not just to tell you of your sins, not to bring your sins to your remembrance, not to condone your evils, not to condemn you. I know that the people say God didn't send his son into the world to condemn people. That's true. He never sent his son into this world to condemn the world. He didn't have to do that because the world was condemned already because of sin. He sent his son into the world to save the world. Now, but God sent his son in the world to condemn sin in the flesh. If you're sinning in the flesh, I'm here tonight to condemn sin in the flesh. Amen. The Bible said sinful flesh. Sinful flesh. Have you followed what I'm saying tonight? Condemn sin in the flesh. For the Bible said be holy in body. Be holy in body. Holiness folks used to be holy in body, but they got into a modernistic thing today, and they've got them believing that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's true. But I said the other night, the way to call upon the name of the Lord is the same way Paul did when the man told him, said, be baptized in Jesus' name, calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible said, everyone that says, Lord, Lord, he's not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. That wasn't what the Bible was speaking of. These Billy Graham crusades that come through that have hundreds of thousands of people coming to the altar. Them people ain't going to heaven. You ought to know better than that, folks.
Amen.
Somebody said, I believe. I can't help what you believe. It's what God said about it.
Amen.
Your believing ain't got nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Billy Graham's believing ain't either.
Amen.
So then what is it? The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
And we're getting close to the end. I said, we're getting close to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I brought it out the other night on the speed destination thing. And I don't want to tarry too long on the preliminary parts because I got something I'd like to say tonight. But I feel God would have me to repeat a few of these things. When it's predestination, somebody said, well, I believe in predestination. I do too. But they just go on living like the devil. And they feel like everything's all right. Deathbed repentance and everything else is all right. But folks, let me tell you something. Just because you call on the name of the Lord when you're dying, it doesn't mean God accepted you. After you live like the devil, chew and spit and fuss and fight, and then call on the name of the Lord when you know that you are dying. Don't you know that God is not an ignoramus? God's got enough understanding to know that you live like the devil and that you're not calling on him because you want salvation, that you're not calling on him because you want to reverence him or love him or change your life, but you're calling on him because you don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
Somebody would say, well, Brother Pine, if I don't want to go to hell, can't I call on God and be saved? No.
Amen.
Somebody said, but if I repent of my sins, God will forgive me. The Bible doesn't say that. Repentance has nothing to do with it. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, if I repent of my sins, God's going to hear me. But repentance has nothing to do with it. The Bible said Esau repented with bitter tears and found no place in repentance. You can cry and you can bawl and you can call on God, but you'll go right back out in your miniskirts. You'll go back out into your own thing. Right back out in your rebellion, in your plans, in your carnal mind, in your way of life, in your motives, in your doings. Though you repented, though you cried, yet you go back out in the world. Why do you do that? Because God did not grant repentance unto life unto you.
Amen.
I hear people say, Brother Pike, I don't see anything that God's got for me to do. But my Bible tells me that I am to pray. You are to pray. What are we to pray for? That God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without. God will not encroach upon their sovereignty. They can die and go to hell and God will never bother them.
Amen.
We've got to pray. If I pray to God for my loved ones, if I pray to God for the people, God said, pray for the kings, pray for the president, pray for the rulers, pray for the leaders, pray for the rich, pray for the poor, pray for all men.
Amen. Amen.
Samuel said, I refuse to sin against God by not praying for the people. It is a sin for the church to fail to pray for the people. You are sinning against God.
Amen.
So then, God expects me to pray. If I pray, God can confront the people. God can let a turmoil come up. God can let a tornado come up. God can let some bad thing happen in the land to shake the people up, to revive them, to wake them up, to get their attention. He can let some little something happen over here on this corner where your son's at today, and tomorrow lead him over here to another place where something else will happen, until he can get his attention through your prayers. And then when the man turns to God and calls on God, that gives God a right to interfere and come into his sovereignty. I said last night, you can be predestinated. But my brother and sister, let me tell you something. If you're running around here in miniskirts, you're running around here gossiping, you're running around here backbiting, giving your opinion, causing division. You know, the Bible said there's two or three things that God hates. And one of them is those that cause division among the brethren. He said, I hate that thing. Said it's abomination in the sight of God. Said move the tail bind, the strife will cease.
Amen.
Is that right?
Praise God.
So then when you gossip, the Bible says your religion is in vain. If any among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, this man's religion is in vain.
Amen.
It isn't going to bring him anything. You may be predestinated, but there is a possibility that you may be predestinated for hell. The child is known by his doings. The Bible speaks of brute beast that was predestinated, that was before of all ordained under condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Amen.
You understand? Folks, this thing ain't just running up crying a few crocodile tears, as the world calls it, going out there and telling them that you joined the church and God saved your soul. When you go out yonder and you live holy and you live clean and you live right, then that means that God has granted a place of repentance unto you. If you go out there with your mini skirts and your evil ways and evil doings, concupiscence of the world, then God did not grant repentance unto life unto you. You're in the same condition you was before you ever went up and shed a tear. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, just wait a little longer. When you get close to the flames, he'll make a believer out of you. You'll look back and say, that old bald-headed preacher was right. He must have known what he was talking about. Now then, I'm not here, folks, to scold you. I'm not here to find fault with you. I'm here to remind you that you need God. I'm not here to try to unchristianize you, to make you feel like that you're foolish and that you don't have anything from God. I'm not here to try to convince you that I'm a know-all and you don't know nothing. I'm not here for that. I'm here to preach the Word of God and tell you what the Bible says.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that there's no faith outside of the Word. You can believe all you want to that you're going to heaven, but if your faith isn't in the Word, you're on your way to hell. Believing that you're going to heaven will not take you to heaven. Believing in the Word will take you to heaven. There's many people that believe they're going to heaven that's going to hell.
Amen.
You can believe a lie and be damned.
Amen.
Well, but the proof of your faith, must have a confirmation from God, or a seal. And the seal or the confirmation of your faith is the same as it was with Noah, the same as it was with Abraham, the same as it was with the prophets of old. The Bible said Abraham believed and he built an ark to the saving of his family. Is that right? You believe and you prepare your life before God to the saving of your soul. That's your little ark. You straighten it up. You pitch it within and pitch it without. You straighten it up. You set your house in order. You make your footsteps right. You make your words right. Not only that, but the Bible says you're to bring into subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. A lot of people have a dirty, filthy mind. You know what we need is a brainwashing. Amen. Even communists learned that a brainwashing is the best thing you can have. You need a brainwashing. If you had a brainwashing, you wouldn't be thinking about Brother Pike the way you are right now. You need a good brainwashing by the water of the Word. God needs to wash your brain, your spirit, by the washing of the water of the Word. Satan's made it dirty. The Bible said you're to bring into subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against God, bringing in subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus. And David of old prayed 7 times a day and said, Lord, forgive me for the intents of my heart. Amen. Some of the intents, some of the motives, some of the reflex. You need to get rid of that too. How do you know what I'm saying? This is a close thing. So then I'm here tonight to try to make you to understand that you're in for trouble. God always sends a warning before judgment. Always does it. You might not remember the warning. You might not pay any attention to it. But always, even in the Bible times, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, before God sent destruction, he sent angels down upon the earth to walk in the midst of the people. The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. How do you know that when preachers are here and people of God are here, that the Bible said Christ is in the midst of him? Is that right? And it says that angels encamp round about them that love the Lord. How do you know there's an angel that goes with us? And if you're a real man of God, that angel is right there with you. And a lot of times you're entertaining that angel and you can't see him. A lot of times the man of God is an angel. You know why? Because they've been caught up into heaven and they're not in this world anymore. But God has put them up into heaven. He's put them into another dimension. And the Bible said, in heaven you are as the angels. Have you been translated into the kingdom of God tonight? Let me see a hand. For God hath translated us in the marvelous kingdom of our God. A lot of people take a little theory. They say, well, we'll just wait till we get there, Brother Pike. And then we'll see what God thinks about it. And then I'll have a good chance as anybody else. My brother, we're not going to wait till we get there. When you get there, it'll be too late. The Bible said judgment begins at the house of God. It's God speaking to the minister from within his temple that the whole world is to keep silent. And according to your faith in what he preaches, the word. God is remitting your sins, retaining your sins. He's forgiving your sins or binding your sins to you. He's getting you ready for heaven or for hell right there. He is translating you into the kingdom of God or binding your sins to you so that you will go to hell. A lot of people say, well, when we get there, God's going to spread everybody out, spread everything out, and God's going to judge us. When a preacher preaches that, it just proves he don't know nothing about the Bible. He got no business in the pulpit. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, he that God sends will speak God's word. There is going to be no such time as God spreading us all out before heaven and before God. It's not Bible. God's spreading you out before God right now, the minister. The judgment begins in the house of God. Whosoever sins he binds will be bound to them. Whoever sins he remits will be remitted. Amen. Amen. When you get over yonder, my brother, the Bible said the saints of God shall judge the world. God will never bring a saint of God into condemnation. Them saints will stand there, and I want to bring out just a little bit of revelation tonight. Those saints will stand there in the judgment, and they will condemn the world. They will judge the world. God will not judge one of them. They've already been judged, already been accepted, already been sealed, already been secured in a day accepted, already been translated into the kingdom of God. They are without spot. They are without blemish. They are without wrinkle. In the presence and the sight of God. Somebody would say, well, if you're so smart, Brother Pike, then why does God send a fivefold minister to perfect them? Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. And that faith is by the hearing of the word. A minister can't do nothing for you as far as righteousness. All he does is preach the word of promise to you and the benefits of God to you. And if you will hear and if you believe it, then God perfects your faith in what he's promised you. There is no righteousness except by the blood atonement. Ministers can't do nothing for you except perfect your faith. So then the saints of God are perfect. And God's waiting for the ministers to perfect their faith that they might receive that perfection. For the Bible said God has sanctified forever, once and for all. Is that right? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And that God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. All of this indoctrination about sanctify yourself this way and that way and one step and two steps and three steps. That's not God. A lot of people just didn't know any better. They didn't know anything about the Bible. They did the best they could. But the Bible said in the evening time a light shall come. And we're in the evening time. Why is God sending light? That He might perfect your faith. He let it stay dark so that you wouldn't know too much, so He wouldn't have to destroy you. He put the Jews in ignorance so He wouldn't have to destroy them. But brother, now the light's come. And those that reject the light in the end time will be destroyed. Beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Their deeds are evil, they won't come to the light. What will the saints do? Now listen. The Bible said the books were open. Is that right? They stood before God. And the books were open. Is that right? What was those books? Those books were you and I. We are the epistle that's known and read of all men. We are those that will judge the world. And that you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. We're the epistles known and read of all men. We're the ones that's been read and killed as sheep that was led to the slaughter. We're the books that will be open. And everything people ever done to us will be charged against them. That's the way the saints will judge the world. Then it said the book of life was open. Hallelujah. The book. What book was that? That was Jesus. Jesus hung at Calvary. He was the book that God opened. Speaking of Revelation now. Bible said, pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation. Jesus was that book. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. The Bible said the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and the book was open, and the ark of the testament was seen in the book. Oh, Brother John, just a few years after Calvary, how do you know that the whole revelation of Jesus Christ is in Calvary? Some of my people here that's heard it on tape, got hundreds of tapes where we preach the revelation of Jesus Christ, it goes out to the people. Some of you know that that's true. We have took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things right back to Calvary and proved it was in Calvary by spiritual revelation. It don't seem possible, but it's true. God comprehended heaven and earth, the past, the future, and the present in Calvary. So the book was open. Just a few short years after Calvary, John, 96 A.D., was killed or exiled to Patmos, rather. Lived there. Got in the spirit and began to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as spirituals. Said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. To us, getting in the spirit is jumping, hollering, having a good time. Why don't you go down to the ball game? Have a better time down there. Why don't you go down to the ocean, to the swimming pool? If you're going to get in the flesh and live it up in the flesh, go down there. You can have a good time because that's what you're after anyway, some good feelings concerning the flesh. Why don't you go down there? But God said, when you come to the house of God, be still and know that I'm God. Be more ready to hear. When Jesus Christ was talking to them back there, they didn't jump and holler and run and scream. They sat down and they listened. Amen. And He taught them. And faith came out of their hearts. You understand, folks? Being here just tonight, there's no way in the world that I could bring the revelation of Jesus Christ. But if you'll be patient for just a few more minutes, I'm going to drop in some thoughts tonight. And I know it's hot, and I'm a man of understanding, and I'm going to let you go in just a little bit. I promise you, I'll let you go in just a little bit. But since I'm just going to be here tonight, and I'm not going to be with you tomorrow, then take just a few extra minutes tonight and listen for the sake of your soul. How many of you will do that? Amen. Now listen, real close. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, God gave unto him the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the mind of the Lord Jesus. Not just that the mind of God is in you, but it is the mind of God unveiled within you. When Brother Branham came on the scene, he brought a great message, but it was called the message. Because it was still within the veil, the people didn't understand it. And even after his death, they still don't understand it. They still fight and fuss over it. Got all kind of ideas. Brother Branham said 3 years after my death, they'll make a denomination out of it, and they've done it.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. God doesn't make a denomination out of things. You understand, folks? Now, I don't mean that God's like some of these people that call themselves loose mules. You know, there's some people that they don't listen to nothing, they don't pay any attention to anybody, they don't set under anybody, they don't support anything and go everywhere they can to get everything they can. That's what you call static electricity. Don't do nothing but run interference. It's never channeled for any good. Amen. God's people are under a control, under a channel. They're in a system. They've got a brotherhood. They work. They've got overseers and they've got leaders. God always had an army that way. Always will have it. That the command might work its way up to the God of heaven. The chief, supreme authority. But John was on the Isle of Patmos. He got the revelation. You ever read it in the Bible? Read it. At the first part of the book of Revelation, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. That God gave unto John. And then Paul said, I went away for over 3 years in the Arabian desert, and there was made known unto me the revelation. Then he came back and he said, folks, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Why? Because you don't want to die. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, you're going to go through the tribulation. Only those with the spirit of revelation will go in the rapture. I've said this before, and I'd like to clarify tonight. The word rapture has been one of the most detrimental things that the church has ever run into. There is no such teachings in the Bible. There is no such word in the Bible. God does not use any terms concerning a rapture. That's a denominational thing they hatched up in the denominational world. I know the word rapture means caught away, but it's a word that throws people off the trail for God, because it brings it down to a time to where all they have to do is just sit and God's going to snatch them out of the world. But Paul said there would be a change, not a rapture, but a change, God said. And the Bible said from glory to glory, from word to word, from light to light, from revelation to revelation. And the denominational world has got the people sitting down, doing nothing, got them blinded, having them to sit there and make no effort in God to perfect themselves in their faith toward Christ, or to do nothing, just sitting around waiting for something that isn't going to come. God said, save yourselves from this under generation. You've got to get up and start on your journey. You've got to start listening. You've got to start getting the mind of God. You've got to spend a little time in solitude. You've got to suffer a little shame for the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some of you ladies, instead of putting on dresses to cover your nakedness, you sit around and criticize the others that do. If you knew the revelation of it, you wouldn't. I'll tell you what, if you ministers really had any revelation from God, your wife never would run around the miniskirt anymore. I'll guarantee you that. Amen. She'd stand up and take notice. You'd see to it. That's right. You understand what I'm saying? There is a revelation. You've got to do something. You've got to raise up people. You've got to get interested in God. You've got to get the word of God. You've got to get the mind of Christ. You've got to grow in the knowledge of God. and in the understanding of God, in the grace of God. You've got to perfect your minds, your hearts, and your spirits in God's Word. There's something for you to do. It's the revelation of Christ. Look here. Brother Taylor read this tonight. That the angel of God placed one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and raised his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. How do you know that we've come to the end of time? How do you know that we've come to the end of the world? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you're just saying that. Let's just analyze it for a few minutes. Now, I know you're tired and want to go home because we didn't preach long enough, you know, according to rules and regulations. But Paul broke them and preached all night, so sit with me a few more minutes. Now, the revelation of Christ, you don't preach it in 15 minutes. If we stay here just a little bit longer, maybe I can get a tad of it over. But this angel set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Is that right? He swore that time would be no more. Now, let's just reason over some things. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. We are at the end of the world. When that angel placed his foot over on the water, over on the land, he said that time won't continue. I said this before. That means you can throw your clocks away. You can throw your calendars away. You can throw your time markers away. Because time fades away into nothing. And we quit being time creatures and we become eternal creatures. Amen. Now let's look at it just a little bit on your level. To where you can understand what I'm saying. I say that the end of the world is here. Now look at it. Man has gone to the moon. Years ago, man didn't even know where the end of the world was. You follow me? He didn't know nothing about the end of the world. He didn't know the world was just one big ball floating around with the rest of them. God had put him in a confinement in this little gravitational place called the earth to hatch him off like a bunch of chickens. God didn't let him know about them things. It would have wrecked him. It would have wrecked his mind. God's worked with us like children. But folks, today we're advanced. Every natural thing shows some kind of spiritual thing. So then we see the end of the world. We are not confined to the world anymore. You know where the corners is if there was any corners to it. In the Bible said there's four corners. You know where the end of the world is. You can go to the moon and look back on the world. See all of its ends. The world exists in your mind. In your mind. As long as you couldn't get up there, as long as you didn't know anything about science. Somebody said, well, what do you mean in my mind? I know that I can look back on the world. Since when did you ever do it? Since when did we ever have anybody in here that ever did it? You did it by pictures, you did it by the mind of science, and you're just taking a word for it. But it is true. You live in the world of your mind. That's as big as you are. Whatever you think, it's what you are. Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so the man is. Amen. So then the end of the world is here. Brother, if the end of the world is here, that means the end of time is here. Amen. For what is time? Time is a marker that divides daylight and dark. Are you listening? I'm trying to get your mind open to something spiritual tonight, folks. What is it? Time. It's daylight and dark. It's 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock and 4 o'clock and 2 o'clock. But when you transcend the gravitational powers of earth and when you get out there, then what? Come on, folks. I said, when you get out there, where's your daylight and where's your dark? When you get out there, where's daylight? Where's night? On this earth there's a daylight and dark because it's ever turning. The sun's here for a while and gone for a while. And you've got a time element involved. Isn't that right? But how are you going to mark time up there? How do they mark time? How do they do that? By the rotation of the sun. By the rotation of the moon. By the rotation of the earth. But when you get out there to where you see the earth off in the distance, there is no more time elements involved in it. The end of the world is here. The end of time is here. Now look at it. If you leave this little planet called Earth and you get out there, where is the ends out there? Where is the ends out there, brother and sister? Where is that ant? It's not called the world. Where is that ant? Scientists say there's millions and millions and millions and millions of stars that they can't even see. Not thousands, but millions of them. Where are they at? They see Mars, they see some of the other planets, but where is the boundaries out there? Where is the boundaries? Oh, I wish you could understand what I'm saying tonight. I wish you were spiritual enough to where I could talk with you tonight. But you've been indoctrinated with churchianity so much that you don't know nothing about God. But listen, when you get away from time elements, when you get away from time markers, when you get away from daylight and dark, that means you're on the verge of losing your mind. Come on, folks. That's why the mental institutions are filling up. Your mind's got to have some kind of formula. That's why the teacher has to use 2 and 2 to make you understand 4. That's why the preacher has such a hard time preaching Revelation. There is no formula that you're acquainted with. If he tries to give you the types and the shadows like Paul spoke of, or as Paul said, Abraham's wife represented New Jerusalem. Amen. That sounds crazy. Amen. He spoke of the types and shadows, the law being shadows of good things to come. God used the formula to get something spiritual over to the people. Amen. Amen. Everything around you is a natural thing. It's a natural tree. It's a natural blade of grass. It's a natural man. It's a natural woman. But there's a spiritual world somewhere that they represent. As long as you got a formula for your mind, you can keep your sanity. As long as there's a daylight and a dark, as long as the world hasn't come to an end, you can understand. But when you get away from the formulated pattern of your mind that God has put down here, then, my brother, you get out there into the realms of unknown. Scientists is out there in the realms of unknown. They're searching it out in the natural as much as they can. That's right. But it's the worst thing that ever happened to them. Because every natural thing means something spiritual is taking place. As on earth, so in heaven. Because they're getting out there in that place, that means that you yourself, you are moving out into a spiritual atmosphere where you will not know, you will not understand, unless you get the revelation of God. You're not standing still. A lot of folks say, well, I ain't messing with it, and I'm all right. That's where you're wrong. God made you to evolve into dimensional spaces and times and places. And you can't do anything about it. You're learning more every day you live. And every day that you live, more is required of you. And every day that you learn more, you're moving into another dimension, into another world, into another realm that you don't know anything about. And you've got to listen. You've got to understand. You've got to establish a thought pattern for that world. Listen to me, people. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, what are you worried about? We can't get out there if we don't have God anyway. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Through religion, you can do it. Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light, so as his ministers into a word, ministering the word of light. You can get out there. As a matter of fact, you're going to get out there. Every person will get out there. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. But the Bible said if you go in any way except through the door, that God will bind you hand and feet and cast you into outer darkness. He said if you go in without the wedding garment, God would bind you and cast you into the outer darkness. What is the door? The Word. What is the formula? The bond of Christ. Nobody's ever been out there but Christ. He's the only one that understands it. It's a transformation of mind. Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not a shout and a jump and a holler. I love to see people shout and jump and holler. That's the joy of the children. And God has sent Great 10 revivals so they could jump and shout and holler. God loves for his children to play just like we love for ours to play. But Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things.
Amen. Amen.
You understand, folks? The ministry means something. The ministry is your lifeline tonight. You've got to listen to the minister. You've got to be under a shepherd. You've got to get the mind of Christ. Paul said to be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. Are you renewing your mind? Are you renewing your mind to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? You're transformating. Knowledge makes you transformate, my brother and sister. You that are going to school, you're transformating. Somebody said, I just don't know what's happened to my daughter or my son. I can tell you what's happened to them. Somebody said, when I was a girl, I didn't act like that. You know what? Because the knowledge of the hour wasn't like it is now. Your mind had not transformated into the regions of the damned and into the places of devils and demons. Those young people's mind is transformated into regions of the damned, into places of devils and demons. They smoke pot and everything else and go off in strong delusions, and some of them don't ever come out of them. It's a day of transformation. They're learning them these things in college. The tree of knowledge always destroys. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, which is the knowledge of God. Amen. Knowledge in school, knowledge in college, knowledge in the world is a bottomless pit that has no foundation.
Amen.
You're transformating, folks. The end of time is here. The end of the world is here. Your minds are transformating. That means that you've got to have a superior mind somewhere. Seeing a miracle isn't good enough. God gave you a miracle to get your attention so he could save your soul, body, and mind from hell, from the demons, and from the darkness. He did that to get your attention, to get you to listen. Not that people would commercialize off of miracles the way they've done loving the dollar. Loving the preeminence, trying to get television programs and big things.
Amen.
Making merchandise of the people of God. I'm going to say a few more things in close because I've kept you way too long tonight. I really didn't have no intentions to do that. But I don't know how in the world to ever get it over to you. I really don't. Now, listen. There's a transformation that has taken place. I will let you go in just a few minutes now. There's a transformation that's taking place. Now, you have got to have the mind of Christ. You're changing worlds, folks. You're changing dimensions. You're not the same person you was 15 years ago, some of you. You know that. Some of you ministers are about to go to pieces. Your nerves are about to crack up on you. Your minds are about to snap on you. Why is that? Because there's spiritual oppression, demon oppression, that you don't know what to do with it. It's wrecking you. That's why the insane asylums are filling up. The people don't know what to do with it. It's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. Even the young girls and young boys come and counsel with me. The college students come. Even the professors come. And they say, I've never heard nothing like this in my life. There's got to be God.
Amen.
Listen, folks. You're headed for sorrow. You're headed for trouble. You're headed for heartaches. You're headed for things you don't understand because you won't listen. Because you won't pay attention. Because you won't get out of the flesh long enough to get in the spirit and find out something's happening. After I'm gone from here tonight, I won't be 50 miles down the road. For some of you will go right back in the same rut, in the same channel, in the same condition, in the same way, and wind up going to hell. After I preached to you, tried to make you understand, talk with you, time is at an end. Listen to this. How do you listen about 5 more minutes? Would you? Just, I think maybe about 5 more minutes. Is there anybody here that's got any confidence in William Branham? If you have, I'd like for you to lift your hands. Some of you probably don't even know him. All right, now look, folks. To you that's got confidence, to you that don't know him, that man was a prophet of God. That man himself declared that God showed him by the year of 77 everything would be over. If that is true, then that means some of you are running behind. That means some of you that's got plans that don't line up with God. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your plans. There's something wrong with your motives. Because it don't line up with that. He said that he saw the calendar turn in a vision. He said, and it turned to the year of 77 and it stopped. And it said it didn't turn anymore. From the year of 33, I believe it was, it continually turned and turned and turned and turned and turned. Until it got to the year of 77. And then it stopped and it didn't turn anymore. He said he looked. And America was turned into ashes and into debris. America, your olive branch, your house, the place you live, all of your plans is what went up in smoke according to his vision. Everything that you plan, is your soul right with God? Have you been telling the people the right things? Have your motives and plans been right? Have they been selfish or have they been for God and for the people? There's going to be a day, folks, where we're going to give an account to God for our stewardship. Now, he said 77, and he said then fire and destruction. Did you know there's a prediction come out by some of the great leaders recently that said by the time that the election has taken place, which is just a month or so away, by the time the thing has taken place, that we will be in line for a bombing coming from Russia? That everything points to it. Even Brother Branham said it could be before 77. But there's only 5 or 6 months left till 77. It flies by like that. Where are we? What are we doing? What's our plans? The denominational world out there, what are they doing with the people? Picnicking, frolicking, eating, marrying, drinking, living it up. I said the other night in Columbus, the Bible said as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah, so should it be at the coming of the Son of Man. You say, what do you mean? He said God looked down and man's heart was continually evil. They can't get their minds clean anymore. He said the destruction of all flesh has come up before me. The end of all flesh has come up before me. Are you listening, folks? What did he mean is the days of Noah? He said they were eating in the days of Noah. They were drinking in the days of Noah. And so they didn't know anything until they entered into the ark and the flood came. Is that right? Now you say, but Brother Pike, what's wrong with eating? Nothing. What's wrong with drinking? Nothing. What's wrong with marrying? Nothing. But that wasn't what God was saying. God was saying there shall be an excessiveness of this thing. They will be overeating. picnicking, frolicking, family reunions. They'll have their minds on the cafe and food. That would be an excessiveness of eating. You can tell we're in that day by looking at me and others. Nothing wrong with eating. But when it comes to marriage, there is nothing wrong with marriage. God instigated marriage. The Bible said that the bed of the marriage is undefiled and all. But the adulterer, the whoremonger, God would judge. What did he mean then? If there's nothing wrong with marriage, he meant that they'd be married one time, two times, three times, four times, five times. Some of them has married seven times and still going on. Demons of adultery, demons of fornication. He said it would be a sinful and adulterous generation that would seek after a tent ministry and a sign. But he said, I won't give them a sign. There'll be one sign. That's Jonah. That's the sign of the resurrection. Jesus is risen from the dead. He might confirm it through a miracle. He might confirm it through a prophecy. He might confirm it through anything to show he's risen from the dead. But that's the only sign. You understand what I'm saying? Called them hypocrites because they could not discern the signs of the time. Said you were supposed to be able to do it. Are you discerning the signs of the time tonight? I'm going to let you go. Just don't get restless. Hold on just a minute now. I didn't forget. I said 5 minutes. I don't think it took that long yet. Like we do over in Canada, they got the Queen's gallon. It's a little different from your measurement. Take 5 minutes. God's 5 minutes.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to let you go. Don't get nervous. All right, listen. It means an excessiveness, an overindulgence. The Bible said be temperate in everything. Now listen, folks. God has given you companionship. God has given you food. God has given you the earth. He's given you the blessings. But you've got to be temperate. If you don't, you'll wind up with your belly rotting out. You'll wind up with insanity. You'll wind up with your nerves broke down. You can't overindulge. And your spirit doesn't require overindulgence. God has made your spirit to be satisfied by temperate means. That affords life for you. Inspiration for you. But folks, listen. When you get overindulging, when you get beyond temperance, that's devils, that's demons hibernating in the human body. Their spirit is made higher than man's spirit. It requires more inspiration. One man can have a wife, have human relation, and that's godly. That's holy for multiplying, replenish the earth. They're satisfied. But let an old devil of adultery come in, and he's got to have 15 wives. You remember what happened before the flood? The Bible records it. Devils and demons. A lot of us say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that a devil and a demon is interested in what people do on the earth? They certainly are, because they're cut off from the supreme inspiration, which is heaven and which is God. Sons of God have life to it, but they don't have any right to it. How many of you know the Bible said Satan savors the things that be of the flesh? He loves the things that be of the flesh. God can feel our infirmities. God can feel our sorrows. And the devil can feel our inspirations. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, I'm going to stop. I know that's stopping right in the middle of the stream when I need to say a whole lot more. But I told you I'd stop in about 5 minutes. I want you to stand with me. I want you to consider the things that I've said tonight. I've not even scratched the surface in what I feel like God wanted to say to you tonight. But I know that you're weary. I know that you're tired. I know that a lot of you, if you left tonight and I was going to be back tomorrow night, you'd make sure that you didn't get here, because you're not going to them kind of meetings and set through something that'll do you any good. But if a meeting comes through with a shout, hip and a holler, a beat, bebop, all this other stuff, you'll be right there night after night. That's right. But you'll die and go to hell with the bebops. because they're going to hell. See that water? I think the reason I drank so much of it is because when I'm preaching, I'm thinking about hell. And there ain't going to be none down there. And the more you think about that place, the better water tastes. The rich man said, just give me one drop. One drop. It's sad, folks. This is sad. There's some people here tonight, as far as I understand, they are going to hell. It don't matter if Brother Terrell preaches, Brother Pike preaches, Brother Roberts preaches, Brother Osmond preaches, Brother Delma preaches, Brother James preaches, or whoever preaches. They are going to hell. There's some of you here tonight that's going to go. But I'll tell you what. You that have the fear of God, if you've ever run for your life, you better start running. If you've got anything that's wrong, you better straighten it out. If you're practicing evil, brother, you better get away from it. I'm going to tell you this. God makes allowance for your stumblings. He makes allowance for your errors. But God does not make allowance for you crossing the Word of God when you know better. You pay for that. God does not make allowance when you start practicing your mistakes. God makes no allowance for people to practice mistakes. There's some of you that's doing evil. You've been doing evil for years. You've been warned and you still do your evil. And you still won't get away from it. And you still got it in the back of your mind that by some slim, unknown chance, some way, that God thinks enough of you that He's going to spare you. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said God has taken the hypocrite by surprise. You're going to go to hell. You mark what I'm telling you. You're here tonight in this meeting. And you're going to go to hell. After a while, they're going to pick you up in a wreck. Or are they going to pick you up in some place where somebody's blowed your brains out. Or something's going to happen to you. There's a boy back over there. Right there in you. Been right there on the campground. He come down not too long ago. And I warned him. I warned him. And talked to him. He thought he could get by with what he was doing. Amen. But the other night he committed suicide. Amen. A young man got in his car. Why did he do it? Looked like he had everything to live for. You know why he did it? Somebody say, I would never do that. A lot of people thought that, but they did different. The demons made him do it. The demons saw that he was getting in such a complex that they couldn't use him anymore. He wasn't no more good to them. When a person gets their mind crossed up a little bit and the devil can't use them, he's ready to kill them and get them out of the way. He don't want them to injure his kingdom. It's like the old underworld system of bumping a man off, you know, when he gets a little double-minded. How do you know that? Afraid to make the plan known. The devil's about to bump some of you off, as they use the terms. That's right, you've got this way and that way, and you're ready to be spewed out of the mouth. You're not going in and you're not going to go with God. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to stand at the door and do your own thing. And God's going to cut you off. He's going to turn you over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. And I'm going to say this. Somebody say, well, we'll turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh so the spirit can be saved. I wish somebody would show me that in the Bible. How do you know that? Preachers actually believe that. They said, now the Bible said, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh so we can save his spirit. There ain't no Bible for that. God said if there be a fornicator among you, when you get together, turn such a one over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit in the church might be saved. Lest the whole spirit be driven out of the church. Said if you got one rotten member on the tree, you better get it off or it'll kill the life in the church. He said get that rotten member out. Or after a while, the Holy Spirit will leave the whole church. He won't stay with it. Because they that fellowship with fornicators are fornicators. Two walk together, they agreed, or they wouldn't be walking together. Something wrong with them. Say amen or oh me. Come out from among them, be ye separate. Turn them over to the devil. Let God destroy them, get rid of them, so the Spirit can be saved in the church. All right, we're going to sing a little chorus tonight. If I was singing this little chorus, I don't want you to run out from under the tent. Just take a few more minutes and then you can go home. While we're taking a few minutes tonight, multitudes in the valley of decision, I want you to think for just a moment, folks. Examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith of the Word. Examine yourselves tonight. You know, you can go to a doctor. A doctor can examine you and sometimes give you a prescription. But there is times you can examine yourselves and save the doctor bill, you know, save an operation. Save your life if you judge it in time. Examine yourself tonight. See what you believe. See if you just believe what you believe because you believe it. See if you believe some indoctrination of what grandmother said or granddaddy or something else. Or see if you believe the Word of God. There's no salvation faith but by the Word of God. The traditions of the elders can't help you with too far along for that. See what your motive is tonight. See if you're in the plan and mind of God. Examine yourselves tonight, folks. Oh, I wish tonight. Paul said, my heart is enlarged to you. It takes till along about this time before you can get people's attention. Before you can get their minds, you're just now in a condition to be preached to. But you're so denominational minded. So caught in that web of this little gimmick called the ministry. Until you couldn't bear to sit through a few minutes of sermon now. Some of you. It would tear you to pieces if you thought you had to. But let me tell you something. Don't be a fool tonight. Daddy, keep your daughter away from those boys. Keep them away from them. Don't be a fool and turn her loose. He's up to no good. The same way around. Mother, if you got a decent son, talk to him. Keep him away from the whore. The Bible says the harlot seeketh for the precious soul. If you got a good wife, keep her that way. Keep her from frolicking up and down the street and riding all day long in the automobile. Shopping. Keep her at home sometimes. Some of you ladies, keep your men at home. Keep them from frolicking off and going everywhere by themselves. They're up to no good. It'll lead to no good. Stay with them. Somebody said, well, you got to work for God. When they went out of Egypt, they said, we'll take our wives and children with us. That was the move of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God ain't in this business of you frolicking everywhere. The wife and children staying at home. It's no good. There's times, exceptions to all things. But wake up, lady. Somebody else going to wind up with your husband. You bear me record, I'm telling you the truth. Wake up, man. Get that woman off her job. She ain't got no business working out there. If you was on starvation, God could see it. But if you will get up off of your laziness and get out there and make her a living, she won't have to do it. The Bible said a man that won't provide for his own is denied the faith that he's worse than an infidel. He ain't got no salvation. He might be religious. Wake up, folks. Think this thing over according to the Bible. Reason with the Bible. Get faith in your heart. Pray. Seek God. If you're going to have a work, do it by faith. Let me say this right hurriedly. Faith is what honors God. Amen. Listen. If you build the biggest church in this nation, if you do it by some intellectual means, you do it by some merchandise means, you've not done nothing when you got through. Somebody said, I built a church for God. You just build a building. That's all you built. God's a supernatural God. God honors faith. You have to do something by faith to manifest God to the people. Any rich man can build a building and call it a church. Any group of people can do that. They do it every day. You've not done anything but waste your time and God's time too. But if you do something by faith and God brings you up by faith, my brother and sister, you've done something. People have seen God. They've seen the supernatural work. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Must be somebody believing now. Must be believing what I say. I always sing this little chorus together. Try to be loyal to my words here and let you go. But let's sing this little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. I want you to sing it with me tonight. Think over what I've said. I don't know. I might get to see you again. I might not. I don't know when I'll ever get to see you again. I love you. I really love you. You got a place in my heart. I love you. You're going to be great people in the sight of God. But folks, after this meeting, do something. Now listen to me and don't get mad at me. When I leave Olive Branch, Mississippi, now hear me. There's going to be a man that'll come in here. And that man is not with God. and you get this, ministers, you are the one that's inviting him in. That man's not with God, and you're going to have the blood of these people on your hand because you are bringing him here. I stood to his face and told him, I said, you're not right with God, and you need to get right with God.
Praise God.
Right in his own church before his own congregation. And let me tell you something.
Praise God.
You're after money. You want money. And money is a god. There's two gods. Money's one of them, called Mammon. The other is the spirit. And you're after money. And you got money on your mind. And that money's going to send you to hell. Let me tell you this. Now you listen real close, folks. You leaders especially. There's a man back over yonder, over in our neighborhood, within a few hundred miles. I warned that man. And I told that man that darkness and light don't mix. But that man got his mind on money. And he was going one way with one fellow for money. And then he felt like that I had the revelation of Christ, and he was going with me for the revelation. I know the dirty, low-down things that said about me out of my presence. God tells me. But God said, you do what I tell you to do, son. I'll make your enemies be at peace with you. I'll take care of that. You don't worry about that. You just do what I tell you. I told this man. But this man went after the money, and he got tied up with a fella for the money. Then when he got everything sent, got his place, got everything he wanted, then he turned to me. Was ready for the revelation. He wanted me and this man to come together. But folks, darkness and light don't mix.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
So then, when he tried to put us together, I told the man he wasn't right with God, and I told the man that was trying to put us together, I said, I will not fellowship him. The Bible said, withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly. Have no fellowship with him. I'm not going to deceive the people by fellowshipping somebody that ought to not be with. Fellowshipping them and have people have confidence in them and then have their blood on my hand. Ministers, God's going to tear you up. You hear me? Those ministers in this area, God's going to tear limb from limb because you're after money.
Amen.
You better wake up.
Amen.
The man's coming in here. Watch and see. When he comes in here, I want you to know this, folks, that I am not in harmony with him. The man's not following God. He's up to no good. And I'm going to tell you this, the ministers that bring him in here is up to no good too. You remember that. Brother Pike is one that loves you. I'm telling you tonight, hear me. You don't walk with somebody unless you're like them.
Amen.
The Bible said, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness and have no fellowship with them.
Amen.
I love you tonight. I'm one that's sent to watch after your soul. I don't want your dollar. The Lord's paving the way for me. I didn't come here for that. I thank God for every dime you give. God bless you. I love you for it. Anybody that would work, slave, and give me a dollar of their money, thank God for somebody like that. But I didn't come for that purpose. I come because I love you. So let's sing this little chorus together. When this man comes in here, it's got a great significance. I wish tonight that I could have told you. I intended to tell you, but the Lord didn't let me do it. I wish I could have told you what his coming has to do with and what they that bring him in here have to do with. I wish I could have told you. And could have explained thoroughly why that I'm here. But I couldn't. I spent so much time exhorting you and trying to get your minds because you're so divided.